let's get right to hour number two. And always grateful when my friend David Icke will get up in the morning. It's really a testimony to this audience, to you people out there. You are extraordinary. And David is always happy to spend time talking with you. And he's up and at him over there right now. Hello, David. How goes it?
Morning, Jeff. Yep. 3:10 in the morning. But wide awake.
Oh, my. All right. A couple quick things here. It's becoming apparent to you, I'm sure, before anybody else, that this whole thing, this plandemic, is turning into an industry. It's an industry. It's an industry of misinformation, disinformation. They're pushing the sheep as hard as they can. Interesting little vignette my guest last hour mentioned. A young woman at Huntington Beach, California, was told by the cops, you can't go on the sand, you can't go on the beach. There were 700-800 people there, and the way Mike describes it, she walked on the sand and turned back and said, basically, what is wrong with you people? This is your beach. You're free people. You can come on this sand. And the cops were saying no. And what happened? The people walked out timidly and then began running on the sand right past the cops. See, that's what the controllers are afraid of, that the people are going to figure it out. There's more of us than there are them. And it was a nice little thing to hear about. And you look at this horrible big freak show of charge, countercharge, geopolitical chicanery, lies, frauds, games that are being played. Trump is now warlike against the evil Chinese and on. It's one of the most putrid displays of mainstream media facilitated lies and disgusting perversions of reality that I will ever see. Enough of me. Let's hear it, David. What's on your mind? Or what's in your wallet? How does that ad go? What's in your wallet? I don't know.
Well, I've been saying all these years that the whole foundation of human control is psychological. When you're dealing with a very few people compared with the global population, you can't control people physically except in small areas unless the people acquiesce to that control. And your main thrust, therefore, until you can get AI connected to the human brain and feed their perceptions direct. But until then, you have to control the population by controlling their perception, which dictates their behavior. And what we've seen in this period of lockdown is a classic expression of that. Billions are under effective house arrest, not because they have to be, but because their perceptions of a situation have led to their behavior, which is to accept mass house arrest. And part of that is because people have bought the lie about the virus pandemic narrative. And the other part is those that have sussed there's something not right, but are frightened to respond and act upon that because they fear the consequences of doing so. And those two perceptual states are what has allowed a tiny few people comparatively to impose house arrest on billions. And if, as you just said, if people only realize where the real power is, then this would be over in an instant. But they don't. This all-powerful network of psychopaths takes its power, because it is powerless, takes its power from the power that the population gives to it. The perception of the power of this network is just that, the perception of its power, not its real power. And so what they have to do is divide and rule, play people off against each other. My goodness me, we're seeing that in this period of current events, where you manipulate the population to police itself. And if people only realize where the real power is, then it would be over. But it's getting that across to people. And then once they've realized that, it's getting them to act upon it in some kind of unity. And what we're seeing is a vast, detailed psychological psyop on the human psyche. And this is what these rules are all about. They have no basis in health protection, no basis in any kind of science. They are based on psychological manipulation. And that's why you see these lockdown rules, not least in Britain, communicated and imposed in such a detailed way. It's because they are training another stage of human acquiescence in which people are constantly and always checking if they are doing the right thing or they are within the perceived law. Every yeah. last yeah. thing. Am I too close to this person? Am I this? Am I that? It's all about training the psyche to become even more acquiescent. And we have this situation. We had a government advisor, a virologist, last week, who came out in the media and said this social distancing, this 6 feet, 2 meters, was, quote, this was his words, conjured out of nowhere with no scientific reason for it. But Amen. At his level of the yeah. pyramid, it would seem like it was conjured out of nowhere, and certainly with no scientific basis. But actually, it's being played out all over the world. You look at pictures of India, and they're queuing, standing in line outside shops 6 feet apart. It's to do with training, training the psyche to be more acquiescent, and B, it's about driving people apart, driving wedges between people. And what's interesting, Jeff, is the foundations of the solutions, if you like, to this hoax and climate change hoax are basically the same in so many ways, not least the centralization of power to meet the problem. But in another sense, this, the climate change hoax, one of its foundation thrusts is humans are dangerous. Humans are horrible. Humans are dangerous. They're dangerous to have around, basically. And what they're now creating with the social distancing is humans are dangerous. People are just avoiding each other because they fear each other. It's all part of this psychological game.
I'm so glad to hear you talk about this because I have mentioned it numerous times. The psychological damage being inflicted upon people at multiple levels in their consciousness is not going to go away quickly or easily in many cases at all. There are now, we're afraid of each other. This is an anti-human ethos. And now, David, when we talk to our fellow man and woman, we can't even see their face. This is a monstrously evil psychological op being perpetrated on billions of people. We can't be near them. We can't see their faces. My God, I saw a picture of a restaurant. I've got it up on the homepage of people sitting in an outside cafe on the sidewalk, and they were wearing some kind of head thing with these three styrofoam things sticking out in different directions to keep them that far apart from their other human beings. They're wearing it on their head, a hat with three extensions to keep them far apart enough from their fellow human being. But they're wearing these sitting at a cafe. And now over here, you can't see someone's face. You don't know who's behind that mask. Again, this is going to result, the whole thing is going to result in PTSD and more for billions of people, ultimately.
Yes, it is. And the mask thing is an extension, of course, of the social distancing. You cannot have, as you point out, a human interaction with someone with a mask on their face. You can't see their facial reactions. you can't see their personality. This is all part of it. And this is the bigger picture, I would suggest. What I've been writing about over the years is that this end game is to fuse humans with machines. Yeah. Because this is my view. It may seem far out. I don't care. My view is that these inner circle operatives within this, what I call the global cult for simplicity, right, are not human. I say they are a form of biological AI. And when you look at Bill Gates, look at his eyes. There is no life. His eyes never smile, even when his mouth tries to smile, and it's always an effort. His eyes never smile. And I'm looking at an automaton. I'm not looking at a human being with a soul when I look at Bill Gates. And what they're doing, you know, this whole movement towards the synthetic human, synthetic everything they're developing. Right. What they're actually doing is leading and manipulating the human biological form into what they are. It's an assimilation. And so the idea is to, because before you can physically do something, you have to psychologically do something. It's psychologically fusing human awareness, human psyche with AI. This is what all these personal assistants are, from Echo and Siri and all this. Right. Look at the interaction all the time between humans and machines that's going on now, as if the AI of the machine is human. So while they're fusing humans with machines psychologically on the way to physically, they're also driving human-human interaction apart. Yep. So if you look at this lockdown, people will now in numbers like never before be communicating when they communicate with each other via machines, via technology, rather than face to face human interaction. And this is all part of this psychological preparation, just as the whole transgender explosion, fusing the perception of gender, is all part of this process towards the biologically or synthetic human. So when you see the big picture, all these things, even in current events, which appear to be one thing, are actually part of a much bigger picture.
I really like what you just said about the interface of Siri and whatever the others are, your personal friend, your valet, your internet conduit. These are bridges to AI life on the planet. This is a bridge. These are stepping stones. People think that, oh, aren't they cute? They're cutesy little things. They help me. No, they're entraining you. They are linking you to what David has just described. That's what they are. Pretty scary stuff.
And what you've got is more and more internet connected, AI connected, toys, dolls, etc. For children, to make
cutesy
it perfectly natural.
Kids.
Because, you know, people like me, I've just turned 68. You'd never guess it, would I? I'm just a spring chick. But I was born in 1952. And therefore, I saw life, you did too, saw life before this. The kids are being born into it. It's all they know. Yeah. This is normal.
They don't have a chance. They don't have a chance. It's sad. They don't have a chance. No. Conditioned, cradle to grave, pre-cradle to grave, for God's sakes now. Pre-cradle to grave. These kids are really, I don't know, they call it Gen Z, last letter in the alphabet, and there may be some real poetic truth to that. The last generation, Gen Z. Another 20 years, and individual proactive life choices, they won't exist anymore. Very rarely. People will simply go along to get along, and they will react. They will be given choices. They will react. They will cleverly seem like they're in power and in control of their lives, but they're not. They're staring. They're reacting. They're drooling. They're Pavlovian. That's it. And that's where
that's exactly what's happening now. All this detailed psychological manipulation by, you know, you can be with two people, but you can't be with three. Oh, crap, that'll make all the difference, won't it? I was in I was in a store the other day, and it's a store I've been in many times before the Alice in Wonderland was visited upon planet Earth. And now all across the store, they've got yellow tape on the floor, and you go into this section, someone leaves it, you know. Well, you know, I mean, you know, sod that for a game of soldiers, as they say. Anyway, I turn up and I'm standing at the, you know, the till, and there's a yellow tape in front of the till, which means that I can't actually reach to pass anything to the person working at the store. And he looks down at my feet, and half of my foot was over the line. And he asked me if I could step back. And I said to him, well, thank you so much. I said, that's going to make all the difference. Now I'll probably survive. And of course, they are embarrassed when you say something like that, because it is ludicrous. And I think, you know, part of this psychological impact subconsciously, because 95% of human behavior and response is subconscious, is actually what a lot of people are feeling now, is embarrassment and a sense of deleted self-respect. They may try to, you know, persuade themselves otherwise, but it's a state of deleted self-respect. And what I mean by that is,
nicely said, I understand.
People know that this is crazy. They're embarrassed that they are acquiescing to it, but still can't cross that line into ceasing to acquiesce to it because of fear of consequences. And this, you know, this is something I've been banging on about for years. This is the human prison, ladies and gentlemen. Fear of consequences. People are not doing what they know inside to be right because they fear the consequences of doing so. And once you fall for that, you are under control for the rest of your life. People have to do what they know is right, irrespective of consequences. Consequences will take care of themselves. But if you don't do what you know to be right, nothing's going to change. And it's like you mentioned with the people on the beach. Once you do it, you realize where the power was all along, which is why divide and rule is so essential to them. And in this period that we're in, why? Because their virus story is so ludicrous, so full of holes and so easy to pick apart. The only way it can survive is by levels of censorship that you will only see in fascist, communist, same thing, really, in terms of the people's experience, regimes and countries. And, you know, since we last chatted in the last few days, I've been deleted from Facebook, and I've been deleted with a million subscribers from YouTube because I'm challenging the narrative. And right. It's so simple what they've done. They have had the World Health Organization, owned by Gates, on behalf of this cult, to dictate the narrative. And then they've said in Silicon Valley, etc., we will censor, delete anyone who challenges that narrative. And that's the only way they can do it. This is why they are deleting doctors in California who are simply giving their professional opinion that the lockdown is unjustified. They delete them with 5 million hits because their virus narrative is so weak, so vulnerable, so clearly unsupportable in terms of evidence and fact, and the way that governments have responded to it, that only by the fiercest of censorship can it survive intact in any form at all.
And we're seeing that in spades. It's popping up all over. It's getting worse all the time. This censorship, this absolute, people are being forbidden to say and to think certain things. Remember, when your speech is taken away, and you know you shouldn't say certain things, you live that paradigm, your mind follows along, and then you begin not to even want to think about it. I better not go there. So freedom of speech is inextricably linked to freedom of thought, in my view. And I
exactly.
see that happening
what
all the time.
What we're looking at, Jeff, what we're looking at is classic Orwellian 2 and 2 equals 5. And the process is that you are pressured and intimidated into at first accepting that 2 and 2 equals 5, even though you know it doesn't. But in the end, we come round to this whole psychological area of self-respect to gather some kind of self-respect of mm-hmm. knowing you are agreeing that 2 and 2 equals 5 when you know it equals 4. You then start to believe that 2 and 2 equals 5, and the whole process of psychological transformation is complete.
Psychological transformation. That's what's going on here. You're watching it right now. This, keep in mind, World Trade Center, 9/11, part one. I'm going to keep it current. This is part two. They studied, they learned, they've gamed this. I'm not even sure they had to game this much, but they've got the supercomputers with AI, and they probably run everything through it. They know exactly what they're going to get away with, plus or minus 1 or 2% before they even start it. They know. That's another issue that the masses will never understand. Unfortunately, I went to a store the other day as well, and I see masks, David. I see people looking at the ground to see if they're standing on their X or they're behind their red line or not. I see near total obedience. I see fear in compliance. I don't necessarily see people shaking and trembling, but I see it in compliance. There's fear there. That's what's causing them to stand behind the damn line and to put the mask on. It's fear. And it's fight or flight. It's too bad. You got adrenaline dumps right and left. People, when they see these stories on the contrived mainstream media, and they get to be a very fearful lot. I look in their faces. I just see submission. I'm sorry to say it. And I know there are many exceptions. But the masses, by and large, are submitting. And submission is the first step to imprisonment and enslavement. And now they're putting together these, what they're calling, euphemistically, contract tracing assistance, or whatever the term is. And the plan is that, as you know, David, they're going to hire over here hundreds and hundreds of thousands of these people to do contact tracing. That means going to the door or the residence of every single person that an infected person names in an interview process, taking that person in that house aside, putting the thermometer, the infrared thermometer, on their forehead to see if they have a fever, asking them any number of questions, and in Ventura County, California, if any of them appear to be infected, they will take them out of that house away to a center for other infected Americans, guaranteeing that they will be exposed to the virus. They're going to take them out of their damn houses. This is at the height of Soviet socialism in the 30s and 40s. People would just be taken out of their homes, and they're gone. And that's what we're seeing right here in America, right here in River City. It's unbelievable, but it's going on.
Yeah, it's the Stasi, the people being manipulated or encouraged, and a lot of them don't need much encouragement, to police the population. It's the sheep policing the sheep, this is the only way.
Well, that's who's signing up to be these enforcement people, contact tracers, the people, the sheep, the capos, yeah. They're doing it to themselves.
Exactly. But, you know, the end game for anyone that has researched this in any detail over the years, the end game in its basic foundations is clear where they want to go. But in the normal course of events, that process is relatively slow. And so what they do every now and again is basically they have to pick up the pace. 9/11 was one of those things which dramatically advanced their agenda to their end game compared with what was going on before. And this, as you say, is another one. And the three basic reasons for this, if you look at problem, reaction, solution, is one, and this is fundamental, the destruction of independent livelihoods. I've been talking about a structure I call the Hunger Games Society for a long time, mm-hmm. which is where this end game is leading, where you have a tiny few at the top of the pyramid controlling all the wealth and basically the direction of society and what happens. The bottom, you've basically got almost the entirety of the rest of the population in dependency, brackets control, dependency to this, if you like, 1% at the top, and a police military state, because it's meant to fuse into the two, between the 1% and the population to impose the will of the 1% and to stop the population rebelling against it. And this is why we've had this incessant war against the middle class in what you call the middle class in America. But the bulwark against that Hunger Games society structure is people in very large numbers in the population having independent income, independent livelihoods, independent of the state. And because while that exists, small businesses, people employed by small businesses, etc., while that exists, you can't create that dependency, that mass dependency on the few, the elite. And so what they've done, this is number one in this pandemic hoax, is they have set out, this is why the Gates set out to get the lockdown. He was given the excuse by a Gates-funded, I won't be able to, you know, say what I'm thinking on your program. Neil Ferguson, that produced the ludicrous computer models for America and Britain.
What a piece of crap that guy is.
Oh, total, God. Total. Don't start me. So they got the lockdown, and that was key because that will destroy the independent livelihood of vast numbers of people. I know people who've spent 45 years building up a business, working day after day after day, 7 days a week, business gone, in this country, never mind other countries around the world. Number two is to manipulate the fear and another no problem reaction solution to justify what you're describing, which is mass surveillance of the population, which is not about tracking a virus. It's about tracking people. And the other one, the other key one, of course, is the vaccine. And in my view, the vaccine already exists and existed before this thing was played out. And it is planned to contain nanotechnology, self-replicating nanotechnology, which will have a massive impact on the body being transformed into a more synthetic AI technological
Absolutely.
State.
Absolutely. Sending,
and
receiving.
And they're the three things. And this is why they're saying, and Gates is saying, in other words, the cult is saying, that everyone on the planet has to be vaccinated before any normalcy can be returned. And we have a health secretary in Britain, Matt Hancock, who makes the most stupid village idiot you can even begin to imagine look like bloody Einstein. And he's come out and said that people will not be able to hug anyone outside of their immediate family until everyone is vaccinated. It's extraordinary. Mr. Hancock, you watch me, mate. They're telling us who we can hug. On your way, man.
Yeah, on your way to hell. Think about it like this, all of you who are listening in the U.S., we have people all around the world who are seeing similar things in their country, their culture, their society. People are suffering. They're being made to suffer. We've lost 52% of our restaurants. They're gone forever now, and that's just for openers. But you mentioned Ferguson, and let's not spend too much time on this creep, but when you look at Burks, Fauci most especially, Gates going to use Ferguson's bullshit and taking that to Trump, they talk about the village idiot, and convincing Trump that he's got to shut the country down and annihilate its entire economy on the basis of Neil Ferguson's crap. You look, who's the facilitator here? Fauci, Burks, and Gates. And you're right about Gates. You look at his eyes. Let me just stop there. By the way, his wife was on the Today Show the other day, Melinda Gates, who was wearing an upside-down Christian cross. Talk about satanic symbolism. I mean, these people are not us. You got to realize all that, everyone. They're not us. They laugh at our morality, our care, our concern. They look at it as weakness. We are useless eaters to them. And that's why the plan is to reduce the population by 80 or 90%. Useless eaters. There's an ethos in the group at the top who has no need for 8 billion people on this planet. They'd be happy with 500 million. So hold on to your hats. Learn as much as you can. Stay as healthy as you can. Keep your immune system up. And for God's sakes, listen to people like David. And we try to bring you the best of the best. This whole thing, when two or three people, ostensibly, can get together and destroy the entire economy of the United States of America, David, which is what has happened here. It's not. Exactly. You can't repair it. It's irreparable, the damage. And that's all it took. And now Ferguson, the cheating, lying scumbag that he is, thoroughly discredited. Imperial College, forget it. And what do we have? We have Fauci is still there, being fawned over by the media. Burks is still there, wearing her Dollar Tree scarves or wherever she gets them. It just blows my mind. And then you see Trump, who to me, David, is a Shakespearean tragic comic character. The guy is losing it. It's obvious he's losing it. He's an idiot. Anyhow, enough. He's not a heroic Shakespearean character. He's a tragic comic character, and a pathetic one at that. I'm done.
Well, there's a few things to that. Well, first of all, in relation to Trump, when people tell me he's pushing back on this and he's pushing back on that, I basically say, show me the evidence. Don't quote me the words. Show me the evidence. And if Trump was pushing back on this in the way that some people believe, then Burks and Fauci would have gone, and they'd have gone very publicly in an expose of the way they've misled the population. But what you've just described in America is exactly what's happened here. Just before the lockdown in Britain, Boris Johnson, at that time, he's completely bought the whole shebang now, completely been absorbed. But he was pushing back. You know, one of the big things in Britain is professional soccer. And people were saying, well, what about, you know, the big football crowds? And he was saying, well, you know, the science doesn't say that that's going to be a terribly important. So I see no reason to stop the soccer leagues. And then the soccer league administrators themselves, a few days later, pulled the soccer leagues, not Johnson. He was saying there's no need to close the schools. This is what he was saying at the start. And then along came the 500, up to 500,000 British people could die from this virus. And suddenly Johnson cancelled the laxative order and ordered the lockdown. Again, Ferguson is funded by Gates. The guy who's one of the major dark suit technocrat leaders of the policy reaction in Britain is called Chris Whitty. He's chief medical officer. He had a $40 million grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Wherever you look, and the other thing, the other extraordinary thing, Jeff, about Ferguson is that his computer modeling history of advising the government is absolutely disastrous. I could have pulled figures out of the air, you know, after four or five gin and tonics that would be more accurate than his history. We had an outbreak of foot and mouth disease on a small number of farms in Britain years ago now.
I remember.
And it wasn't the big deal that it became, but Ferguson did the modeling. And his models, and of course, computer models are the easiest things to manipulate by what you put in is what you basically get out, said that they had to slaughter millions and millions of farm animals to stop the spread of the disease. I mean, that's basically another spin on what we're seeing here. And with hindsight, people have looked back and said, well, that none of that was necessary. These animals had not been connected to animals with foot and mouth. They didn't have foot and mouth. And what did that do? It destroyed enormous numbers of small farms and small farming families that were then absorbed by the agribusiness giants. And so basically, this man is appalling at what he does in terms of actual factual computer modeling, but he keeps getting invited to advise the government because, quite simply, he produces the models that the government, that which controls the government, want to hear. If Ferguson had come out at the start of this and said, my computer model says, keep the schools open, keep the soccer going, it's no big deal, he'd have been out the door. Because he wasn't giving them what they want to hear. And this man must end up in jail for crimes against humanity. Because what this one man has done with his models is so globally catastrophic, it's breathtaking. And what he's doing now is trying to double down on it. And, you know, this was the thing. I mean, you know, oh, dear. I was watching this Boris Johnson speech this week, a statement talking about where we go from here. And he was actually saying still 2 days ago that only because of the lockdown have we stopped up to 500,000 people in Britain dying from this virus. But they have to double down on it because to admit what they've done would be the end of them. And in terms of Johnson, it is the end of him because as more and more people realize the story, he will be the point of or the figurehead, the symbol, the personification of
somebody's going to take the fall.
The destruction of this country.
Yeah, he'll do it. He'll take the die. He has to. They've got to hang somebody up. They can't kick Blair around anymore, I guess. He's kind of, I want to talk about an anachronism. What a weird guy. Yes, agreed. So where we are right now is very few Americans really understand this whole scam. They know a lot of them know something's wrong. They know something's wrong. I used to go, I've stopped now, but I'd ask people if I was out, do you know anybody who's sick? Nope. Never ran into one person who knew anybody who was sick. And now with American doctors being told to list coronavirus on any death certificate if they simply suspect it was the cause of death, and they get compensated for it. If they put somebody on a ventilator, they get $39,000, that hospital, for putting someone on a ventilator. They get rewarded. This is unbelievable what's happening here. And most people,
they have to make out that their completely mendacious narrative is true.
Right.
And because they can't do it with a real problem, they have to give the impression of one. And what you just described, and again, this comes back to this global cult that operates like a transnational corporation where the central point in the cult dictates the policy to all the subsidiary networks in each country. This is why it's all happening the same almost everywhere.
Right.
You have a situation where what you've just described in America is happening in Britain. It's happening all over. How many more doctors need to come out and say, actually, we're being told to put COVID-19 on the death certificate? And then you come back to this test, this PCR test. It's not even testing for a virus. They haven't isolated the virus. It's testing for a genetic material. And the guy who invented this PCR test actually said it shouldn't be used to diagnose infectious disease. And that's exactly what they're claiming to do. And all these people are testing positive, but they're not testing positive for a virus. That's why the vast majority have no symptoms at all. They have no symptoms because they haven't got anything. It's this genetic material that shows up positive. This is why you have Tanzania this week. The Tanzania president announcing that they sent a sample from a pawpaw fruit for COVID-19 analysis, and it came back positive. It's a joke.
And David. They sent a sample from a goat, a pheasant, and a fruit. And the World Health Organization identified all three as infected human beings. That's it. They tricked them. Tanzania.
The reason they want this mass testing is they know, because of this genetic material situation, that vast numbers of people are going to test positive. And what they're saying is that, we're finding that, people aren't getting immunity to this virus. Well, of course they're not, because you're testing them and they test positive for this genetic material or different contents of it. You then isolate them for 14 days and then you test them again. And they're going to test positive for the same genetic material that in the first place. I was told about this through a friend who's a associate of an American medical scientist who'd sussed this early on. This PCR test is not testing for COVID-19. It's testing for genetic material. And I've confirmed this with other people. So the test itself is testing positive for things that it's not actually testing for. And at the same time, you're getting the death certificates being manipulated. It's extraordinary. In just one example in Scotland, the rule is now, Northern Ireland's the same, and they'll be the same in other countries. If you test positive for genetic material, not COVID-19, and you die of anything within 28 days, then COVID-19 goes on the death certificate. This is where the numbers are coming from. And the numbers are being compiled by the Johns Hopkins University operation is massively involved with Bill Gates.
Billy Gates.
It's so transparent.
It is, truly. Just to repeat that what David brought up about Tanzania, they don't like the World Health Organization. In fact, they threw them out of the country when they got the results back. They tricked them with tests. They sent in a sample from a goat, sample from a pheasant, and a sample from a fruit. And all three had this, allegedly, genetic material in it. And so the WHO said, yes, those three individuals are infected. So, end of story. We've got a real problem here. And it's very difficult to reach across the line to get to the masses when they're cordoned off by the mainstream media. Whatever culture, whatever country you're in, you've got a mainstream media. It's an official government propaganda mind control mill is all it is. And they got the people completely convinced that they're getting to be informed by staring at it, not interacting, not questioning, staring at it and receiving. Because you go into that mental state that David was talking about 25, 30 years ago, a few seconds, and you're in a literally different state of mind. And you no longer have the ability to pass judgment and analyze what's going into your subconscious. So that's the game.
They don't call them television programs for nothing. That's true. You have a situation which this really does sum up the scale of the programming, where a cancer doctor in Britain came out and said that the life expectancy of very large numbers of people is going to be dramatically reduced because of cancer that's not been diagnosed and cancer that's not been treated. Because, he said, people are not going to hospital because they're more frightened of COVID-19 than cancer. The scale of programming that's necessary to reach that state, because this is the other thing. You know, you talk about the mainstream media. What this whole period has done is to bring into stark, if you have half a brain cell on active duty, undeniable focus what's actually been happening all along, but actually is now in your face. And part of it is the mainstream media and its role in all this. And every week, through the government instigation, people go outside their homes in Britain and they have a mass clap. In fact, people take saucepans out and smack them with a wooden spoon, you know, to appreciate the medical staff in the National Health Service hospitals of Britain, because the media has convinced the vast majority of the population that the hospitals in Britain, as around the world, are war zones. And you know, people have contacted us at davidicke.com over these weeks who work in hospitals. I've met them myself in the street and nursing homes. The nursing homes I can quickly come to in a second, because that relates to dividing young from old. But the hospitals are empty. My son's wife just given birth to a child, which meant they went to hospital for 24 hours a few days ago. And the hospital was empty. It's exactly what keeps coming back. So, so even that, they've convinced that hospitals are war zones, and they're banging saucepans in appreciation when the nurses are making internet dancing videos in empty wards to kill time. And the other quick thing, Jeff, in this is this old nursing home, care home thing. What they're doing is they're using it to kill old people on a very, very large scale. What they're doing in Britain, this has come out again and again now, even in parts of the mainstream media, they're pressuring older people to sign non-resuscitation agreements, so that, you know, when they need to be revived, they're not. And they're killing lots and lots of old people. And what are they doing then? They're saying they died of COVID-19. And
correct. Absolutely.
This whole process of targeting old people, one level of it is to get people who have the experience and the longevity to have this radar to understand and see that what's happening ain't normal, to get rid of them, to get them out. They want them away so that they can isolate younger people who've known nothing else. And therefore, from that moment on, have complete undiluted control of their perceptions. So this is why they are demonizing old people through climate change. It's them old people that did it. They demonize them through the Brexit thing. Yeah. It's them old people that caused Brexit. And now we're seeing what they're doing to old people all over the world in the care homes, which is a bit of a misnomer sometimes.
Well, geriatric genocide is what it
is. Yeah. And that's the idea. Because they want to lead to a point where you get to a certain age and then you take a pill.
David's not kidding. This isn't the plan. Yeah.
One insider that I quoted from what he said in 1969 over the years actually described it. He called it the demise pill, where you get to a certain age and then you you take the pill and you're away to free opportunity for young people, as he put it. But of course, the elite won't be taking the demise pill. And so this is all part of this stepping stone towards that. And they're taking the opportunity to delete the world of very large numbers of old people. A nurse in a care home, nursing home, contacted us and used this word. He said they're murdering old people. Because what they're doing is they're designating them COVID-19 without a test, even the ludicrous test, just designating right. them. And then doctors aren't coming anymore. And so they're dying of other things. And they're being diagnosed on the death certificate COVID-19.
By eliminating older people, they are also eliminating real history. Young people will not be able to reach out to older people to talk to them about how things used to be. They're taking that all off the table now. They're just eradicating history, what they're doing. And it's very insidious to me, the way they do this. In Japan, older people are often declared national monuments, living monuments. If they've achieved things in their lives and they're revered, they're respected, they're talked to. Over here, doesn't happen. They're getting rid of them. That's exactly what's going on. They're cutting off that experiential potential from young people's lives by getting rid of the old people. They cannot, that what we lived through as younger people, our younger people now will never understand. They won't understand it. They wouldn't believe it. It sounds like science fiction to them. This is all very well planned. It is a plandemic. It's one of the best terms I've ever heard for it. Plandemic. David, thank you for getting up, mate. You go get some rest now. I appreciate it. Great job. Great. Keep it up.
Cheers, Jeff. Nice to talk to you again. Bye.
Okay. Good night. David Icke from the Isle of Wight in merry old England.